Now, Lord, we look to You as our shepherd, our pastor, the one who cares for His sheep. And Lord, I come to You as an under-shepherd. And I come to You as the chief shepherd. I pray, Lord, that You'd help me, Lord, as I teach this morning, so that we as Your flock, we can understand. We can know the benefits that are ours, and we can know how to respond to You as our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. So he speaks to them again in the following verses. I think they didn't understand Jesus because Jesus was so simple that they expected something more profound, more theological from Jesus, when in reality he took a simple word picture of a sheep's relationship to a shepherd to describe our relationship to God. And they didn't understand it. But as he continues on with his analogy, they do understand it. Jesus was so simple. He used pictures and analogies, word pictures, that anyone could understand. The least educated, the simplest person could understand what Jesus was saying. And that is probably one of the reasons he had such a large following of people. Throngs of people came to hear him because the scripture tells us the common people heard him gladly. And I find that for the most part, the Christian church is comprised of common people, simple people. Paul said, "You see your calling, brethren, after the flesh, how that there are not many mighty, not many noble who are called, but God has chosen" what? Anyone. "The foolish things of this world to confound the wise." I fit right in that category. And so do you. Common people. You know, the people who wrote the scripture, by and large, were simple people, using simple analogies. They were not stuffy professors stuck in some research hall of a university. They were people who lived out with the people. They were farming people. They planted crops. They were familiar with wildlife. And so we see a lot of these analogies like it. You know, I really believe that a lot of pastors, under shepherds, can learn a lot from Jesus' style of teaching. Keep it simple, stupid should be the rule of teaching the Bible. Keep it simple so that we can understand it. Instead of sanctimonious sanctuary sounds and big words, verbosity and theologian talk. Simple word. That's what Jesus did. And he grabbed the attention of people. Now, as we comb our way through chapter 10, it is filled with the shepherd's care for his sheep. And I'm first struck with some of the pronouns that Jesus uses, where he says in verse 3, "To him," that is to the shepherd, "the doorkeeper or porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." I love that. Now look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own." He didn't say the sheep. He says my sheep. And I take comfort in the fact that I am owned by God, that He's my shepherd. It's like David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I think David said that boastfully, saying, look at who my shepherd is. Look who my owner, my manager is. It's the Lord. He owns me. He said it in a boastful kind of a way, boasting in the Lord. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about sheep, but if you're like me, you're a city slicker by and large. Some of you have, or maybe still do, live on a farm or a little ranch somewhere out in the Tulies, but most of you live in town. And you are unfamiliar, like I am, with the animal kingdom as far as a close contact. In what I have read about sheep, and I have observed sheep when I lived in Israel, is that you, and you're either going to be very comforted by what you learn about sheep or very insulted. Because sheep, folks, are dumb. They require more attention and care than any other form of livestock. They cannot make it alone. They have no ability to guide themselves. If left to themselves, basically they're just going to die. I read one account of a shepherd who owned sheep for a good portion of his life, and he said, "My sheep were so dumb that I could be standing in a beautiful green pasture, and just about 10 feet over, my sheep are eating dry grass. And the only way they're going to get from point A to point B is for me to physically lead them there." They require incredible attention. If you've ever been to a sheepfold, you also understand that it's very smelly in there. And I'm sure there's a correlation somewhere. Because we're all imperfect. And God says, "Now get together and get along." We are owned by the Lord. He is our shepherd for two reasons. Number one, because He made us. He created us. And by the sheer fact that we are brought into being by the Lord, He's our shepherd. He owns us. Man, I take such comfort in that. When I walk out on a clear evening, and most of the evenings in Albuquerque are beautifully clear and you can see the stars, especially if you get away and you can see all of those stars that the Lord has placed in the sky. And you realize that we are on this planet called the Earth, that in comparison to these great stars that surround us, we are a speck in the universe. Think about it for a minute. As you look out at night, there's about 250 million times 250 million stars, each probably larger than our own sun, which is one of the smallest stars. If you could somehow transport yourself from the Earth to the nearest neighbor star, Alpha Centauri, and bring the biggest telescope that we have on this Earth, and you set up this telescope and look back at the Earth from that nearest neighbor star, you couldn't even see the Earth. That's how small it is. From the nearest neighbor star. And to think that on that speck of dust called the Earth floating in the universe are people that God came and personally died for and said, "I'm going to make these people. They're going to become my sheep." That to me is incredible. I'm comforted to say the Lord is my shepherd. He is my owner. He is my manager. But also He owns His sheep because not only did He make us, but He bought us. Look over at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep." Verse 17, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I've received of my Father." One of the most enchanting stories I've ever heard is a story about the little kid who one day his mom gave him some dough and he went into the kitchen and he baked his own gingerbread man. Put little eyes on it and a nose and little teeth. Put it in the oven. As soon as it was done, he pulled it out. And he looked at it and he said, "Now you're my gingerbread man. I own you because I made you." No sooner did he say that than the little gingerbread man came to life and he ran out the door. Ran down the street and the little boy hustled after him. "Come back, gingerbread man! I made you!" Took off. Searched all over town for him till finally he looked and there he was sitting in a bakery window with a sign, 25 cents. He thought, "That's my gingerbread man." He walks into the store and boldly says, "I want my gingerbread man back. He's mine. He's in the window." The guy said, "Fine, you can have him back. Give me 25 cents. That's the price." "You don't understand though," the kid said. "I made the gingerbread man. So I don't care what you did. He's in my window now, and it says 25 cents. You want him, you pay for him. He's on my turf. Kid said, fair enough. Reached in his hand, gave him a quarter, took his little gingerbread man home. When he got out the door, he said, now look here, gingerbread man. Now you're really mine. Because first of all, I made you, and secondly, I bought you. The Lord made us, and we strayed from Him. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, and the shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. And now, when you come to the Lord, He says, now look, you're mine because, first of all, I made you. But second of all, I paid my blood for you. I own you because I bought you. So the Lord owns us. He owns His sheep. In verse 11, He knows His sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Now we'll go over that in a minute. But look at verse 14 again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And this is a word that means to know by experience, not intellectually assent to a fact. I personally am acquainted with my sheep. Every little detail about my sheep, I am acquainted with. The Greek word is gnosko. It means to know by experience. It means to know by investigation. It means to be there. And then it reciprocates. I know mine, and it says, my sheep know me, or I am known by my own. I believe that one of the greatest longings that human beings have is to be known completely for who they are. Is to have someone in their life who can know every detail about that person, who can know you from the inside and out, all of the good points and all of the warts and flaws, to be so totally known for who you are and to be totally accepted for who you are. There's great comfort in that. A lot of walls come down when you know someone or when someone knows you that much. You're comfortable around them. You can't surprise them by anything you would say or do. They already know your character and they have chosen to love you and accept you anyway. We long to be known like that and we long to have someone in our lives that we can know intimately and pour out our love to love and to be loved, to be known and to know by experience completely and intimately. I read this week that an Eastern shepherd, before he buys his sheep, thoroughly inspects that little lamb so that he knows everything about it. In fact, if some of you come to Israel with us and it's on a Friday morning and we just happen to be around the northwest wall of Jerusalem, we'll take you to what's called the sheep market. And to this day, you'll see the shepherds bring all of their sheep in and they trade or they sell or they buy. And you'll watch the shepherd go up there and meticulously inspect the sheep he's going to buy. Find out, what have you been feeding it? How old is it? Does it have any natural defects? What's its personality like? And once he knows everything about it, he pays the price. The sheep becomes his. And usually, the shepherd will name his new sheep corresponding to one of the traits that the sheep has. For instance, if the sheep is a little slow, he'll give him a name like Slow. Or if he's tired, they might call him, you know, Mr. Droopy Face or something. I don't know. But they will name him after a trait that the sheep has. The shepherd knows intimately the history of the sheep and then daily inspects the sheep. Puts out his little staff and the sheep will walk underneath the staff that is held out. And as he walks into the sheep pen, the shepherd will look down and inspect. To see what's been going on. Has the sheep been attacked today? Are there any parasites in the sheep? And so on a daily basis, the sheep is intimately known by the shepherd. I know my sheep. What does Psalm 139 say? Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know my downsittings, my uprisings. You understand my thoughts in their origin. There's not a word on my tongue, but lo, Lord, you know it altogether. You're acquainted with all of my path and my lying down. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, I cannot attain unto. He blew his mind that God knew him in such a detailed kind of a fashion. As sheep, your calling is to know your shepherd. And as we said, the word means to know by experience. Some of you know him in a cerebral fashion. You know facts about your Creator. You know facts about God. Heck, you've been raised in the church. You know about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know where John 3:16 is. But do you intimately know him? Are you acquainted with him by experience? I appreciate John McKay when he wrote his book on Christian theology. In his preface, he spoke about two types of people who hear the truth. And he likened two types of people who hear the truth to people who walk down a road. And he pictured life as a long road with curves and cuts, dangers, unexpected situations. And there's always the people who walk down the road. But then there's another group of people who sit on a house overlooking the road on a large balcony. He called them balconeers. And he said, that's the kind of people who watch other people walk on the road. You see, the balconeers know that there's a road. They know that it curves to the right. They hear people talk about what happens on the road, the dangers on the road, what they can expect. But their knowledge is cerebral knowledge. They don't walk the road. They hear that and they can talk the talk. The difference between the balconeers and the people who are on the road is just that. The people on the road live the life. They walk with the Lord. They just don't talk about the facts and about theology. They know their Lord personally. Big difference. Some time ago, when there was a special dinner, I think it was in Hollywood, I read. They were honoring someone who had been there, and they invited an actor who was there to give a little speech. The actor stood up and he recited Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. But the actor gave such emotion, the people were on the edge of their seat. The actor was not a Christian, he was simply a good actor. He knew the material, he knew the psalm. He quoted Psalm 23 and he sat down and everybody applauded. They called on another one of the friends of the guest of honor to stand up to say a few words. And this guy was an old, wrinkled ex-pastor. And he stood up and to the surprise of everyone, he too recited Psalm 23. And everybody kind of chuckled. The guy just did that. Why are you doing that? And he simply recited it and he sat down. And the actor stood up and he said, the first guy, the actor stood up and he said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I know the psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. There was an obvious difference in the way it was shared. One spoke being an actor. One spoke knowing God, knowing the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm satisfied. I shall not want. I know him. I know him personally. So the shepherd owns the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep. And the good shepherd leads his sheep. Verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Now, what I like to do from time to time is make it personal. And I'd like you to insert your name where it says sheep. And read these verses. I'm going to read out loud. I'll put my name in it. And Skip hears his voice and he calls Skip out by name. And he leads him. And when he brings Skip out, he goes before him. And Skip follows him because he knows his voice. And then verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In my reading this week about sheep, one of the facts I discovered in one of the books I read is that sheep seldom find their own way. They, by nature, wander. They go astray. They are just not bright creatures. And again, I was not insulted by that fact. I was comforted by the fact that we need strong leadership and the Lord gives it to us. But the guy in his book went on to say that sheep naturally kind of just, you know, doy-dee-doy-dee-doy, and just wander off, not knowing where they're going, or will blindly follow another sheep. not knowing where it's going. And that first sheep doesn't know where it's going. And they're just on this trail to the state of nothingness. And oftentimes they'll follow each other and they'll take the same path that they take every day. There could be lots of paths, and they'll take this steep little path on a hillside that until it becomes a rut, until it becomes a gully, they'll wear it out. And the shepherd has to be constantly looking to lead them so that they won't stop in the middle of the path and drink muddy water or toxic water. Lead them to fresh water. Lead them to green pastures because they're going to eat that dead dry stuff. And as I read this book, I thought, Lord, you knew what you were doing in calling us sheep. Because I don't know what it is, but as human beings, even knowing the Lord, we are prone in going astray. And the Lord has to always remind us. That's why we constantly need fellowship. We constantly need Bible study. We constantly need devotional time, time in the Word, to be reminded, to get us back following the shepherd. Because we get into ruts, we get into habits, we follow the crowd blindly. Well, so-and-so's doing it, let's do it. Well, the world's doing it, let's do it. And the Lord will bring out His staff, as the shepherd had a staff with a little curved hook on it sometimes, and kind of pull the sheep back into target. I was in Israel a few months ago with one of the tour groups, and it was our day off from touring. It was a free day, and I decided to take a walk. I have a favorite walk, or I'll walk down through the Kidron Valley around Jerusalem. It was a rainy kind of a day, and as I looked down at one of the valleys, there was a sheep fold tended by a shepherd. I thought, hot dog, I'm going to watch this, learn some lessons. I perched up by a rock, hid behind a bush, and I watched. And all that I read about sheep, I found was true. They are incessantly dumb. The shepherd was trying to lead his sheep down a hillside into a beautiful, verdant, green patch of land to get them fed. And I watched this one sheep just kind of wander around, just looking around, just started wandering off up the hillside to the rockiest, driest place, looking around for food. And I thought, what's this guy going to do? And I watched the shepherd pick up a rock. I thought, don't tell me, he's not going to throw a rock at his own sheep. Sure enough, he hurled the rock, not at the sheep, about 3 feet on the other side of the sheep as the sheep was walking away from him. And that sheep got so scared. As he's walking, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and all of a sudden, bam, he heard this rock snap on the ground. And he went, wah! And he turned around and he scurried back to the shepherd and got real close. He was teaching it a lesson. It's dumb to follow your own direction. Stick close to me. You don't have sufficient intelligence to guide your own life. Again, I am not insulted that the Lord gives us that analogy. I admit that. That's why I say, Lord, I commit my life to You. You're my shepherd. That's why I pray every day for direction. You might not agree. You might think, well, I'm smart enough. I mean, that's the philosophy of this world. Do it yourself, man. Pull up yourself by your own bootstraps. Make your own decisions. You don't need anybody to guide you. Try it. Just go ahead and try it. You'll come to an end of your rope. Because there are times, there are situations that are much bigger than you are and tougher for you to handle. And you need a more sufficient base than just self as a base. It is a delight to say the Lord is my shepherd. I distinctly remember a time in my early Christian walk where I was really angry at the Lord. I'd walked with Him now for a good long time, 4 months. Everything was okay, but I remember I had prayed about something and God didn't give me what I wanted. I stood on the Word, I thought I needed it, I prayed for it, and God wouldn't give it to me, and I was angry. And I distinctly remember driving on my motorcycle. And I'm thinking, God, I'm angry at You. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to backslide. Yeah. That's what I thought. And as I thought about it a while, I thought, where am I going to go? Where else am I going to go, knowing what I know now? And knowing what the Lord has done and what I've experienced, that is dumb. The Lord woke me up. Just like the disciples when Jesus said, okay, everybody's leaving. Are you also going to leave me? And what did they say? Lord, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. I'm going to stick by you, man. Love it. The Lord leads us. Now look at, it says in the end of verse 4, the sheep follow me for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In the morning, the shepherd would walk out, open up the doors of the sheepfold, the fold that was in the city, and several of the shepherds would stand back at about, 20, 25 feet or so, and in their own little voice, call for their sheep. And they all had their peculiar little calling, little sing-song voice. You know, sort of like when you call your cat or dog, you don't speak normal, do you? You don't say, come, Spot. You say, oh, come on, little doggy. Come on. Come on. It's not your normal voice. The shepherd would use their own peculiar little voice, this little kind of, come on, little whatever you are, come on out of the sheepfold. And the sheep were trained to hear the voice of the shepherd. It was real interesting that over a period of time, they would know what is the shepherd's voice and the voice of the stranger. And you could have five shepherds and they could each call their sheep and they would form a line. They would at first come to their shepherd. Now during the day, they'd start wandering off and he'd have to call them again. But in the morning when they sort the sheep, they each have their distinct voice and the sheep migrate toward the shepherd if they've been trained in hearing his voice. If you've been trained in hearing the voice of God through the word of God, you can tell a fake shepherd, a false voice. Believe me, there's a lot of false voices, false shepherds calling for dumb sheep, looking for gullible sheep. And there's a lot of them out there. And they'll call and people go, oh, what a neat new doctrine that is. I never read that before in the Bible, but hey, I'll go for it. And the little sheep goes, bah, and follows after him. And all the other sheep who see the other little guy going, they go, bah, too, and they form a whole line. But if you're trained in hearing the voice of God through the Word of God, you can detect if something is right on or not right on. You've been trained to hear the voice of the shepherd. I have done some studies on cults. Not really, although I have studied the cults. My interest is in why people get into them in the first place. And I have found that by and large, most of the people in America that convert to cults or to Eastern cults, Eastern mysticism, were people who were raised in mainline evangelical denominational churches that were dead, that never fed them anything. They never learned through the Word of God to hear the voice of the shepherd. And so when Mr. Guru Cool Guy comes over to the United States and pops up in Oregon, they'll go, all right, new leader, let's follow after him. When I was in India and I spoke to people who were going over there to find meaning in life, I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, shared the gospel with them. And I spoke to this one girl a few months ago. She said, I never heard that stuff. I said, it was in the Bible. She goes, well, we never really read the Bible much. She was from Europe. She grew up in a Christian church that was dead, never heard the gospel. And she came now following this new cool guru who was going to lead her in the path of destruction. But she hadn't learned how to hear the shepherd's voice. And when you don't know how to hear his voice, it's very tough to follow. It's very tough to be led. Now the Lord protects his sheep. Look over at verse 7. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out, and he will find pasture. Shepherds in the Mideast go out with equipment. They start out every morning with a rod and a staff, by the way. They have a staff that leads the sheep when they go astray. They inspect the sheep with it by holding it close to the ground and letting the sheep pass through it. But they also have what's called a rod.
Now, I've always read in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and I didn't know what that meant till I began to read up on it. A rod was a club. Not to beat sheep with, but to beat wolves with who would attack the sheep. And the rod was about 3 feet long and hung off the belt of the shepherd. And at the end of it was a large wooded area filled with nails and sharp objects. And believe me, when a wolf comes to attack the sheep, and that club meets the wolf knows about it. Now I understand what David meant when he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because when I'm being attacked, the Lord protects me. He whips out that old club. He goes, come on, Satan, just try it. It is a comfort to have the Lord protecting us. But there was another form of protection besides the rod and the staff that the shepherd had at his disposal. And it's called the door of the sheep pen. Or, as the NIV says, the gate. What's interesting is that the shepherd would lead out his sheep in the morning. He would take them out from the village, and he would take the sheep out to the grazing pastures on the hillside. And they'd all be eating their grass. And in the evening, he wouldn't lead them back home. He'd keep them out there on the hillside. And usually the shepherds would have built a fenced-in area, or a bricked-in area called a sheepfold, which had walls all the way around except for a little opening. There was no door on it. If you were to look at a sheepfold today, you would think, that is the most unsafe apparatus I've ever seen. I mean, those sheep can just walk right out the door, and a coyote can walk right through the door and attack the sheep. What's so safe about that? Until it gets toward evening time. And in evening time, all of the sheep are herded together into the sheepfold. And then the shepherd lays himself across the threshold of the opening. And he literally, physically becomes the door. And a sheep cannot get out unless he crosses over the body of the shepherd. And a wolf cannot get in unless he gets through the shepherd. That is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, I am the door. I stand between my sheep and between the enemy when he tries to come in. When a wolf comes in, the shepherd wakes up and gets out that nasty rod. But also, the door, the shepherd being the door, was to protect the sheep from themselves. Because if there was nothing there to block the opening, the sheep would just wander out in the middle of the night and get eaten up. How true that is of God's people. Folks, why is it that so many of God's sheep will test their limits with the Lord? This is the mentality. How far can I go and still be called a Christian? I have questions like that all the time. Hey, can Christians do this? Is it okay if I do this? Am I still a Christian? How far can I go to the danger zone and still be called in the fold, in the flock? It's like a little fish when that line is cast in and that bait's on it and he thinks, now there might be a hook under there because I've seen a lot of my friends get snagged, but I think I can play it safe. I'll just eat the little ends off. And so he goes up to the hook and tries to nibble. Ah, he was safe. He didn't get hooked. He tries it again and he nibbles a little bit more off that. Pretty soon he's going to get a little too close and he's going to feel a pull and it'll be his jaw. Sheep are prone to wander. Don't test the limits. Stay safely in the fold. The door was to protect the sheep from themselves. Look at verse 10. We get to another danger. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That, of course, is Satan. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, but he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. A hireling is someone who just needed a job. And he goes to the shepherd and he says, I need work. I need to make a buck. And the guy says, fine, you can work for me. Watch my sheep. However, when danger comes, when a pack of coyotes come to rip off the sheep, the hireling doesn't own those sheep. He's just paid to do a job. And he thinks, man, I'm splitting. I'm not going to get my hide involved in this. And because he doesn't own the sheep or take a vested interest in the sheep, he's only a hireling. The sheep are in danger. The sheep suffer danger from outside because of wolves. Same with the church. The church has been attacked for 2,000 years, but the church has been attacked inside for 2,000 years in the form of hirelings. People who are called ministers who really aren't out to feed the sheep, but are out to make money off the sheep. They want the fat of the lambs. They're not interested in feeding the sheep, but in fleecing the sheep. I collect, and maybe I shouldn't, but I do, because I'm amazed that it goes on. I have in my file a collection of religious scams sent out through the mail by evangelists or pastors all over the country, ways to solicit money, ways to fleece the sheep. And one of them has incense, religious incense, and you're supposed to burn it. And after the incense burns, you take the ashes and put it in this special envelope with your $20 or $50 bill. And then God will answer your prayer. I heard of one guy who had a magic wallet. And brothers, if you just give to the ministry, we'll send you the magic wallet. And if you have this magic wallet, you'll never go broke. The funny thing is, after he spoke about his magic wallet, he said, "Now, we are in desperate need in our ministry." Now, any intelligent person is going to think, why don't you use one of your magic wallets? The one that takes the cake, as far as hirelings is concerned, is one that I have that the evangelist sent out a shower cap with an imprint of his hand drawn on the shower cap so that when you put it on, his hand touches your head. And you wear the shower cap and you quote the Bible verse and you take off the shower cap and send it back to the guy with your seed gift offering. And people fall for this stuff. Hirelings. False shepherds. God said to in Ezekiel, "Woe to those false shepherds who feed themselves and not my sheep." Hate to have to stand in their shoes before Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ, scamming people for their money. Hirelings. Finally, the provision, and we'll close with this. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, his first benefit is he'll be saved." Whew, salvation. Second of all, he'll be secure. It says he will go in and out, which is a phrase that speaks about someone being able to go in and out of their city without fear of danger. When the nation's under attack in Israel, all the cities were shut up. A person couldn't leave or enter. And then finally, they will find pasture. That is, they'll be satisfied. They'll find satisfaction. So they'll be saved and they'll be satisfied. Look at verse 10. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly," which is a word that means overflowing, superabundance, superior in quality. That's the kind of life the Lord wants us to live. He provides for his sheep. He makes us safe and secure. He makes us fed. He gives us a superabundant life. Life apart from Jesus is flat and insipid and rather boring. Now, I don't know why, but before I was a Christian, I used to think that that's what Christianity was like, a boring life. That the Lord said, "I have come to give you bummer, and that more abundantly." I thought, I don't want to be one of those guys. How boring. They go to church, carry this big Bible, talk to God and talk to each other. Ugh. But it's life. Overflowing. Jesus described it as rivers of living water that would flow out of a person. That's the provision that the shepherd makes for his sheep. In a book that Philip Keller wrote, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Some of you probably read it. He speaks about how sheep are provided for and how they're kept satisfied. And he says this, "The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to lie down and rest unless four requirements are met. Number one, because they are timid, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from fear. Number two, because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction. Number three, if tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. And finally, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel the need of food. They must be free from hunger. The unique aspect of this picture is that it is only the shepherd himself who can provide release from these anxieties. It is not generally known, but sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit, suddenly bounding from behind a bush, can stampede an entire flock. That's pretty scary. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep than as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and their owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do, and this applied day and night. Now that's abundant life, when in the midst of a frazzled life, when the bottom drops out, you suddenly are aware, wait a minute, my shepherd's here. I don't need to freak out. Jesus is here. My shepherd is present. He's got the staff and he's got the rod. He's got the provision. Oh, the Lord's here. And we are quieted from all fear. Our response to the shepherd, as it says in verse 3 and 4, is to listen, for my sheep hear my voice, and to follow. My sheep follow me. You add both those words up together, listen and follow, and you come up with obedience. That's exactly what obey means. Where you listen intently, and then you follow in the path. That is obedience. Obey Him, church. He's your shepherd. If you do not obey Him, you only make it harder on yourself. A lady who visited Switzerland was shocked as she went up to a sheepfold in a mountain one day. And she saw the shepherd with his sheep, and off to one side was the sheep all by himself, obviously in pain. The woman said, "What's wrong with the sheep?" "Oh," he said, "his leg is broken." "Oh, well, how did he break his leg?" "I broke it," the shepherd said. "You broke his leg?" "Yep." Why would you do that?" "Well, because he was the most wayward sheep of all my sheep in the flock. He never listened to me. He'd go out to the cliff and all but fall off. So I went to him because he led others astray. And I broke his leg. And I put him over on the hay. The next day I went to feed him. He tried to bite me, so I left. 2 days later I returned with food. This time he took the food and he licked my hand for the first time since he was born. And he said, 'It's okay, lady. He'll get better. And when he is well, he will hear my voice more readily than any sheep in my flock. He will follow me wherever I go. He will respond more readily to my command, and he will always lead the sheep where I lead the sheep.'" For some of you, certainly not all of you, this may explain why, and again, I preface it by saying some of you, in some of your situations, this may be why things are so tough. Because as you're out there going astray saying, "I'm going to do what I want to do," the Lord throws that rock on the other side of you. How come life is, you know, full of these noises and these horrible things? Obey the shepherd. He will give you pasture. He will give you satisfaction. It'll be safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is our shepherd. And we come to you, Lord, as our shepherd. Tend your sheep, Lord. We come as the church seeking to understand exactly how you want us to be. And we see all of these benefits, that you know us, that you own us, that you lead us, that you protect us, that you provide abundantly for us. Boy, that's a great track record, Lord. And now we want to respond in listening to your voice. And we've all been to church now. We've listened to your voice in the Word. Help us now, Lord, to live and follow you. lest it becomes cerebral knowledge only, lest we become a balconeer. In Jesus' name, amen.